But so because the eunuch's going far away, all the way to New Zealand, so I figured this was a perfect opportunity for him to say absolutely anything he wants to say to all of us before he disappears. Because tomorrow, is it tomorrow? No. Yeah, tomorrow he gets on a plane and you won't be able to get him after that. So he'll be gone. So let's pray for Caleb as he comes to share with us. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for Caleb. Thank you for the gift he is in our community. Pray that you would guide him now as he speaks and help our hearts to open to an awareness of your presence in his words through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You want to take that book away? Just stick it on the front morning.
All right. Well, in true youth group fashion, I was thinking we were going to start this morning with some pits and peaks. So for those of you who don't know, when we are downstairs, we'll gather around and kind of introduce ourselves if we've not known each other, but we usually know each other. So we're going to go around and we're going to share our pit, which was the low light or something not too good from this past week, and our peak, which was a highlight or something that was really good from this past week. And I'll give an example first, but then we're actually, you're going to share kind of in your pews. We'll divide the pews kind of down the center. You're going to turn to your neighbors and you guys are going to share your pit and your peak from the week. And one thing about peaks is we don't share how good of a grade we got. If you were on a math test and you said, that was my highlight, you're going to say, I did really well on my math test. You're not going to say, I got 94%, because 94% might be, you know, 36% for another person. So anyway, in terms of you guys, I don't want you to share how much money you made this past week. That's not your peak, okay? So I'll give you an example. This past week, for me, I would say my pit was actually on the snow day when I was going behind my shed to get the shovel. And as I was walking back there's quite a bit of snow and there's a narrow walkway and there's a hedge. Well, I got the shovel and I'm walking around and I'm supposed to wear glasses. I'm not fully doing that all the time yet. But anyway, there must have been a branch in the hedge that it hit my side and it kind of pushed me to the left just as I was coming around the corner of the shed. So I stepped and I slipped because it was snow and I went right through the window. I put the shovel through the window of the shed. I haven't told my parents I can carry that. And peak would be this past week, probably a dozen friends of mine came over to my parents' house and they kind of put on a dinner and we had great dinner and fun games. So with that, I invite you guys to take about 30 seconds each and share your pit and your peak of the week just in your pew rows. All right, thank you. So this is a classic part of youth group. Sometimes people take over their allotted amount of time. So anyway, thank you, guys. Good morning. Thank you for sharing. We are going to have a little bit of a journey today. So we're going to look at some of the texts that we were just looking at through John and the Psalms, but also there's going to be a slideshow that features some of the youth group photos from the past 3 years. And you can start that. And there's going to be also a little sharing time at the end of what's going on next. So I wanted to start by reminding us of out of John's gospel here, of perhaps the backstory to these two characters that are kind of the key. And so if you guys remember, John the Baptist and Jesus both had pretty significant births. So Zechariah, John's dad, he was a priest in the temple, and an angel appeared to him while he was on duty and let him know that he was going to have a son. And John didn't actually believe him and then wasn't able to speak. And then when the child came around, sorry, Zechariah didn't believe him. When the child came around and they're asking what is to be his name, they were thinking, oh yeah, we'll name him after his dad. But his mom's saying, no, he's to be called John. And so they ask the dad, okay, what do you want to call the child? And so he gets a writing tablet and says, his name is John. Suddenly, he's able to speak and he's praising God. So everybody's kind of talking about this. Like, this is a pretty extraordinary birth. Same with Jesus. We've heard that the past few weeks, and we know that at his birth, there were shepherds who went and told everybody. They're telling everybody about this birth and this Messiah. And then we had our wise men come, and they were looking for this child and found him. So both of these people had pretty significant and exciting stories of birth. And in the gospel reading we just heard, John said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself didn't know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing. So John and Jesus actually probably did know each other growing up. You know, Mary had gone to spend time with Elizabeth when she was pregnant, and they were relatives, so they might have been cousins. So John and Jesus were probably, like, you know, maybe second cousins or something like that. So they had probably known each other. But what John's talking about here is that he didn't know necessarily that Jesus was the Messiah, who was kind of God's chosen servant to come and bring peace and consolation to Israel as a nation. But John said he came baptizing so that this person might be revealed. And so when he was baptizing with water, this was something a bit unusual. At this point, we'd not really seen people being fully dunked. He was encouraging people to change the way they think about things, and he really was able to relate it to the people and what they understood in their life. You know, for example, if somebody was forced to walk a mile by a soldier, he said, go with them 2 miles. So if somebody's forcing you to do something, rather than, you know, just complying and saying, okay, I'll do it, take the power away from them and go the extra mile, go even further. And then the power dynamic is flipped. So John was changing the way people thought about things. And he came, he said, to prepare the way for Jesus. And so John actually had his own disciples as well. As we saw, there was two unnamed, but one of them was Andrew. And John, had these people following him and spending time with him. He had been teaching them. He had been sharing his life. But he had obviously also been preparing them for somebody else, that he wasn't the be-all, end-all. You know, he was here as a signpost to point towards Jesus, and such that when he told two of his disciples, hey, this is the Messiah, I saw that, you know, God's revealed, this is who it is, they just left him, and they went and followed Jesus. And I think that's a great example of what it means to be a follower in our day, even in terms of, say, for example, youth group. I feel like a great resonance with this passage comes from the fact that John was a signpost. All he was doing was he was trying to point towards Jesus. And so I think over these past 3 years, that's kind of been in the back of my mind. It's, okay, I am going to just try and live my life in a way that points to who Jesus is. And that's not just me, the other people around me. I totally believe the community of people here, we are to be signposts that point the way to who Jesus is. And that's revealed through our love for each other and our love for God. And so as a youth leader, as a member of this congregation, I've been super fulfilled these past 3 years in getting to hang out with kids going, you know, on great trips, but also playing games downstairs on Saturday nights and teaching Sunday mornings. And I'm very thankful for the opportunities to even connect with the adults of this congregation. And I felt very supported, enriched, challenged, and it kind of hit me last night. You know, one of the quotes that I heard from somebody when they first started, it was Young Life in Vancouver, they said, often youth pastors or youth leaders overestimate what they can do in 2 years and underestimate what they can do in 5 years. Now I kind of just split the middle and went 3 years. But yeah, I really feel like the relationships that I've been able to grow over 3 years are something that I'm going to take with me. And I look forward to kind of continuing to walk alongside this community. Back to the disciples who were following Jesus. One of them was named Andrew. And Andrew had a brother. And so Andrew, once he realizes that Jesus is the Messiah because of what John had told him, goes to get his brother. And I don't know if you guys have siblings. Some of you do, some of you don't. There's an interesting dynamic to a sibling relationship sometimes. And so I also have a brother, and his name is David, and he's in the Philippines right now. And David and I are very close. And David, my younger brother, actually signed up for a program a few years ago. It was called Quest. It was at Columbia Bible College. He had heard about it through SALTS. And David signed up for this program. And he kept inviting me to do this program. And I said, no, I'm okay, thank you. I've done 2 years at the university at UVic in science. And I was ready for maybe a year exploring in like Guatemala or something, traveling, building houses, playing soccer with kids. But Dave kept inviting me. And I finally told him, I'm like, look, I'm not coming. And David said, I'm disappointed to hear that. And I was kind of shocked. I was like, man, I thought my younger brother here was kind of inviting me out of, you know, actual curiosity, or not curiosity, but a formality. I thought he was just being nice. But when he said he was disappointed, I realized, no, he was being serious. And for me, that was kind of the last obstacle that had been removed. So I ended up joining Quest and doing what turned into 4 years at Columbia Bible College, and a great time in my own walk in discipleship and in community. And so back to this story, Andrew, the younger brother, goes to get his older brother. And he says, look, we've found the Messiah. Come check him out. And it doesn't tell us a whole lot more other than this guy follows him. He says, okay. And he comes to Jesus. Jesus sees this man and says, you are Simon, son of John. Now you shall be called Peter. And Simon, I don't know, Simon Tuffin's not here, good, so I can say this. So Simon in the Old Testament, it maybe comes from Simeon, who is one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and he was a little bit of a perhaps rash, perhaps spontaneous, even resorted to some violence sometimes. He was maybe not the most grounded of the sons. So there's sometimes power in a name, but this was maybe who Simon, you know, could have associated with a bit. But Jesus calls him Peter, which means rock. And I think one of the greatest gifts of discipleship is transformation. And I believe that Jesus is able to call us by a name, by a new name. And so I want us to reflect maybe on what we need to hear from God. And so when Jesus calls Peter rock, Jesus ended up spending about 3 years with Peter. And they lived together, they had fun together, they journeyed, they laughed together. Jesus shared with Peter, look, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm going to be going to die, though. And there's this tension in discipleship where there's a cost to following Jesus, but it's also the burden is light. He's not putting something impossible on us. And I think there's, one of my questions for you guys is to reflect on what are you seeking? What are you hoping for? And we see that when the disciples follow Jesus, he asked them that same question. He says, what are you seeking? And they asked him, where are you staying? And he said, come, and you'll see. And so the invitation, I believe, for us as a community of people and individuals is that Jesus invites us to follow him and to see where he's staying. And he wants to be with us. He wants to be among us in our homes, in our friends, our family. And what a gift that is. I love adventure. I also love Lord of the Rings. I don't know if there's any Lord of the Rings fans in here, but thank you, Lee. I watched Lord of the Rings. I've read Lord of the Rings. And one of the most inspiring things for me through those books is being a part of an adventure where you are with other people and you are required to give it your all in order to accomplish a goal. And so we see in Lord of the Rings a group of nine people who bond together to set out on a quest to destroy the ring. And on this quest, they're going to be incredibly challenged, and they're going to form incredible friendships with each other. And there's going to be separation, but they're going to, you know, some of them are going to come back together. And I don't know if you guys know the one scene in Lord of the Rings. It's when the riders of Rohan are called to go to Gondor to help out in the final battle. And I've watched that scene on YouTube and on the TV probably about 15 different times. And in that scene, there's just this sense of this bell is ringing and people are gathering together. And there's this sense of, okay, this is what we have been prepared for. This is what we are living for, is to be able to help our neighbors in their time of need. And so it was this past summer in July where I had on my heart New Zealand. I was thinking of perhaps visiting for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. But I ended up sensing kind of just a clarity of the next step. And so I actually figured, wow, I think I'm going to try out New Zealand for more than just a few weeks. I'm going to go for a few months. So I'm going on an 8-month round trip to New Zealand in the Tauranga region, which is on the North Island. I'm going to be doing what is called the One Thing Internship through Youth with a Mission. And my first 4 weeks will be spent, it's at a YWAM base, so Youth with a Mission, and it's going to be spent taking 3 classes. There's a prayer room there, and there's also going to be it's kind of like a summer camp vibe-ish. We're going to be like helping out around the camp and stuff like that. The prayer room is something that I've really developed a passion for over the past kind of number of years. And they call it the One Thing Internship, which comes from Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. So that is going to be kind of what I'm looking at as like the foundation, the starting of my time in New Zealand. And after that, there's some openness. I've got a 2-year work visa, and there's a number of opportunities that I'm excited for. Perhaps the clearest one, I haven't been fully accepted, but initially, I'm going to be sailing to the Solomon Islands with YWAM ships. And so that boat right there is called the MV Koha. And that was donated just this past year to YWAM. That they have had a number of trips and boats that have been part of their ministry for decades. And this one, they are currently fundraising and doing vision casting for. And that's gonna be going to the Solomon Islands in May. Now these boats, they're set up kind of with supplies. So they're gonna have medical and dental supplies. They're gonna have doctors and dentists, and they service these remote places that otherwise wouldn't have access to that. And a big, part of this trip for me is to be able to take part in providing that service and building relationships with the communities that otherwise might not be able to have that. I've got a application that's, again, not fully through, but I would be helping out as a watch officer and in terms of community development on this boat. So for 3 months, from June to August, I'll have that. And there's a couple more things that might pop up in terms of down there. Israel, Anglican Chaplain Ruth, she's taken a group from UVic, and so I've been invited, and I'm thinking, man, that would be great. I am really far away from that, but we'll see. But ultimately, out of all these adventures, all these hopes, the greatest adventure that I'm looking forward to is the adventure of discipleship. And I think Jesus' call, his invitation to live life to the full, is the greatest adventure of all time. Thank you.